Good morning, everybody. This is Em and Mally here on a County Down farm. I'm on a farm literally about 10 miles away from the scene of the tragedy of the weekend when the three Spencers died as a result of a slurry pit. I have with me a farmer here who had a nightmare experience some 4 years ago when he came close to losing his father, his uncle, right here on this farm. I'm actually in the milking parlour here, and it's slatted the whole way down for about 200 yards. And Stephen's going to take me through precisely what happened on that day. Stephen, what did happen?
Well, we're just mixing the tank as we do many times in the year, and I started the pump outside the shed. There's a mixing point outside the shed on that particular time. There were sheep closed up as far away from the pump as possible as they were coming to get clipped that day, and I went round the yard to do something else, and I heard my father shouting, turn the pump off. So obviously you knew the sheep had been getting some of this gas.
Now, just to clarify, when you say you were mixing that day, you were agitating the slurry.
Yes, that's right.
Right. And your father shouts to you, you have the tractor running, you have the agitator going, and he shouts, turn off the pump. Go ahead.
That's right. So I ran around to the pump as quick as I could and turned off the pump, and I came into the shed to see what was going on, and some of the sheep had started to go down and fall unconscious, obviously.
Where exactly were the sheep at this point in time,
Stephen? The sheep were up this end of the shed here, and the pump was outside that far wall.
So that's about 200 yards away.
Yeah, well, 200 foot.
Yes, 200 feet away, yeah, yes. Yeah. Okay.
So that was okay. I come in, and my father and uncle had started to walk into the shed to try and help the sheep. And as I just come into the shed, my father was maybe a few yards from me, and he was the first one just to collapse, like all of a sudden, just down as if he was shot almost.
So in front of your eyes, you saw your father wobble and fall.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And
did you think that it was the gas, or did you think that there was something else?
Oh, I knew it was, should have been, it had to be the gas. For I seen the sheep were in trouble too, like, so obviously that was what had done it. Like, so after that, I looked over at my uncle, and he was a bit further away, and he almost simultaneously did the same thing. So first thing, my father was closest to me, so I grabbed him by the back of the shirt, basically, and dragged him outside into the air.
And was he gone? Was he completely out of the
stage? I thought he was gone, yes. He was completely unconscious, and his eyes were rolling, and there was like froth coming out of his mouth, and it just didn't look good at all. So I sort of had to make a decision whether to try and bring him around or run back in for my uncle. So I thought for all the time it would take, I'll run back in, and I ran back in and pulled my uncle out. And luckily, by the time I'd him pulled out, my father started to come around again. He was moving on the ground. So he got up, and my uncle was unconscious now for a good few minutes. And luckily at the time, there was men working at a new tank, and I shouted for help. And one of them knew a bit of first aid. But I'd also been on to the ambulance, and they'd give me some advice. But before we really got a chance to do anything, he'd started to show signs of coming around as well. But he had to go to hospital and was in for a few nights now. But he was all right in the end, thankfully.
You know, Stephen, you travelled in the ambulance with your uncle to Daisy Hill Hospital, is that correct?
Yes.
And what did you hear? What did the paramedics tell you when you asked them how common this was?
Well, I asked if they've come across this before, and the answer was this is the first time we've got people alive at this sort of incident. Usually when people get gassed, there's nobody else around to help them, and even if they are, sometimes they end up gassed too, which is unfortunately what happened at the weekend here.
So, Stephen, if you hadn't responded to your father's request to turn off the pump, which was agitating the slurry, effectively, you too could have died right here where we're standing at this point in time.
Oh, no doubt, yes. I would have thought that would probably have happened, yeah. So it was just by luck, and I suppose my father was probably as on the ball as I was to shout to turn the pump off originally.
Did your father have any recollection of what exactly happened to him?
Well, he remembered going into the shed and going to help the sheep, but after, it was just, I don't think he knew much about passing out like it. He just felt all dizzy and away he went. So,
to many people listening to this, Stephen, they wouldn't really have a clue what goes on the farm. But effectively here, you have slats the whole way down what we would have called, when I was brought around on a small farm, the group in the centre of the cow shed here. And beneath that, what is down there? Is that where the slurry pit is, and all the waste product literally falls down through that into the pit? Is that exactly what happens?
Yes, that's right, yes. It's basically a big hole in concrete walls, and this is slats over the top of it, and the cows, urinate and whatever into the tank.
Excrete.
And then before you can suck that out with a slurry tanker, the solid part of the manure, it rises to the top and the liquid goes to the bottom, so they need to agitate it together before the slurry tanker.
Basically liquidize it
so the slurry tanker's able to suck it out then.
Now, how regularly or how frequently would you empty that tank?
Well, now there's there's new regulations now, or they're in a few years now, that there's a close period every year. Now it starts the 15th of October through to the end of January, which probably puts a bit more pressure on farmers. They have to store more slurry. That's why a lot of new tanks were built. And with the weather in this country, when there is a chance to spread slurry, men probably are under more pressure than usual to do the mixing and do it maybe as quick as they can, especially this summer. So added pressure on it.
Is it a fact, though, that you lost a dog here as well earlier as a result of these gases?
Yeah, it was a few years back, we were mixing a tank and the dog run in and got a whiff of the gas, and it unfortunately passed away,
Now, you were explaining to me just a while ago that, in fact, on another farm, your sister's husband's farm, you were saying that only in the last couple of weeks they lost a number of cows due to a similar set of circumstances.
Oh, yes. But them stories are quite common.
What happened there?
Well, apparently he was mixing the tank, and I think it wasn't himself. He had a man in mixing the tank, and the cows were leaving for the field, and for some reason a few of them come back in, and they didn't realise, and they were in the shed that they were mixing the tank, and I think there was 12 actually died at the end of the whole
incident. That's only in the last few weeks.
Oh yes, but that would probably happen more regular than you would ever know, really. Everybody has a story if they'd be truthful of a problem with gas. Like, it's a big problem.
Now, what precautions do you take here, Stephen? I mean, this is a working farm. What precautions do you take on a daily basis to try to obviate a situation like this?
Well, all you can do is any shed you're mixing into, empty the house of all animals and make sure everybody knows well that you're mixing and not to be going near it, and just stay well away when you have the agitator going.
Do you wear masks, for example?
No, I don't know whether there's a mask available to filter out that gas or not. I'm not sure.
But given what happened to you and to your uncles here and your father, isn't it extraordinary that you haven't established what facilities or what resources are there to protect you and your family?
Well, there's if you want, the health and safety, they will advise on how to mix safe, and you're supposed to have signs up warning of slurry gases, and they do give you sort of guidelines to empty all the houses and keep well away, and if where possible, always mix on a windy day. It's supposed to help quite a bit. But it's like every farm, when the job has to be done, it has to be done, and just that's it.
Stephen, when you reflect on what happened here on this farm in County Down, and reflect on what happened at the weekend, isn't it a fact that you, your uncle, and your father might well not be here today if circumstances hadn't conspired in your favour on that given day?
Yes, it was definitely a possibility. There's no doubt about it. But sure, that's life. You have to move on and forget about these things. There's no point dwelling on them. Just thank your lucky stars. So,
Stephen, thank you very much for giving us your time. And I sincerely hope what you have told us here will heighten the awareness, if it needed to be heightened any further, in the wake of what happened at the weekend with the loss of Nevin Spence, Graham Spence and Noel Spence, three members of that family. And I suppose everybody will thank God that Emma, the young artist member of that family, has been released in hospital. Stephen, for your time, we are grateful. For imandmally.com, good morning.